Newton Media Group, a family of creative services, presents the Voice Over Work podcast. On the podcast today, we take a little deeper look into a book introduced in a previous podcast with a chapter-by-chapter look at Polymath. Master multiple disciplines, learn new skills, think flexibly, and become an extraordinary autodidact. Learning How to Learn, Book 9, written by Peter Hollins, narrated by Russell Newton. Benjamin Franklin is one of American history's most successful and influential figures. What exactly was he famous for? At this point, he's mostly relegated to political theory, but during his own time, he was known for just about everything. Franklin was an accomplished inventor, respected politician, and leading scientist. He engaged with current affairs, wrote prolifically on many topics, and acted as a diplomat, statesman, and passionate activist. He was a businessman who founded many organizations, such as the University of Pennsylvania and the first ever fire department in Philadelphia. Franklin was a postmaster and a political satirist. He invented a more efficient freestanding stove, a musical instrument, the harmonica, if you're interested, and bifocals to deal with his own failing vision. He dabbled in electricity and conducted the famous lightning, metal key, and kite experiment. Oh, and he was one of the five key people who put together the American Declaration of Independence and the American Constitution. His immense contributions to a wide range of fields make people wonder where the United States of America would be, even without Benjamin Franklin. Many schoolchildren accidentally believe he was a president at some point. It's not true, but it isn't hard to imagine the man finding time to run a country on the side of the countless other projects, inventions, and enterprises he managed. So, what is Benjamin Franklin famous for? We could say that this sheer breadth of knowledge distinguishes him, i.e., that he's a polymath. This term from the Greek means having learnt much, and was seemingly made for men like Franklin. Polymaths have knowledge in a wide range of subjects and fields, rather than specializing in just one. Chapter 2. The Polymathic Mind. Given what we know now about polymaths, the natural question is to ask what we can learn from their approach, and how best we can set ourselves up to succeed in a quickly changing world. This requires of us a little more creative thinking than merely asking, what skills are valuable in the marketplace right now? What's the next big thing? The truth is that successful polymaths are primarily driven by insatiable curiosity, a love for their fields, a yearning for mastery, creativity, and expression, or a blend of all of these. They may not share anything in common as far as their fields of expertise go, but they certainly share the same zest for life and set of traits that keep them pushing for more. Thus, it is not enough to simply mimic the end result of polymaths' process. We need to ask how they've thought and worked, rather than getting bogged down in the details about what they've done. It's about what has spurred them to develop a pie or comb shape, instead of remaining as a simple T-shape. Many people falsely believe that, to remain competitive, they need to upskill in all the fashionable and trending ways. People ask how they can learn to write computer code or trade cryptocurrencies, for example, not because this is where their passion genuinely takes them, but because they're swayed by the stories of tech entrepreneurs who have already gone this now well-traveled path. Unfortunately, this is a losing strategy for two reasons. One, because by the time a trend is identifiable as such, it's already on its way to being over. And two, because mimicking others leaves you failing to capitalize on your own unique talents and perspective. Adaptable and open. Chapter 3. Novice to Expert in 10 Steps. You probably don't need any more convincing as to the benefits of being a polymath. That should be self-evident at this point. Instead, it's time to turn our attention to the how part of this book. How do you learn a skill that you've selected? How do you immerse yourself most optimally into a new realm of knowledge? How do you expand your horizons and take the first step to becoming a polymath? First, we'll explore the four basic steps toward exploring a new topic and preparing to master the knowledge and skills that will be most useful to us. These include 1. The broad overview. 2. Narrowing the scope. 3. Defining success. And 4. Compiling resources. Then, in a following 5 steps, we'll use the focus and resources we've developed to create and carry out a curriculum which allows us to learn most effectively. Finally, we'll go over a 4-part note-taking system that ensures a much deeper understanding of a topic. Step 1. The broad overview. The first important step is to delve into the basics of your topic of choice. We need some introductory knowledge about the subject we wish to enlighten ourselves on before we proceed to do so. The main purpose of this step is to determine the scope and complexity of our subject matter. What are the subtopics within the subject? What are the absolutely essential details we need to know or preparations we ought to make before attempting to master it? Is the thing we wanted to learn even the same as the subject we've chosen? What does this topic or skill truly entail? Establishing where your interests lie. Conducting an in-depth... Chapter 4. Intentional Discovery. By now it should be clear that what distinguishes polymaths and other intelligent people is not the skill set per se, but the attitude behind it. If you're interested in developing your own skill set, it's natural to ask, what exactly should I learn? The answer to this question is obvious. It depends on your purposes. You might decide that you want to pursue a more diverse inventory of skills to make yourself more competitive in the market, a better business person or entrepreneur, or a little both. In merely asking the question, you've actually begun to shift perspective and open your mind to possibilities outside of narrowly defined job descriptions. Take inspiration from those who you admire. Look at the jobs or positions you want and imagine what skills and abilities would come in handy. Areas like public speaking, anything that encourages critical thinking, the development of time management or leadership skills, or the associated social skills that come with your profession are a logical place to start. But perhaps, in the true spirit of being a Renaissance man, you want to pursue polymathy for its own innate virtues, beyond its benefits in one specific workplace or another. You may want to learn more and become more well-rounded simply because your life itself is a project that holds the most interest and importance for you, and you're inspired to be what you can in this life, given your strengths and limitations. But where to start? A great way to begin is by taking stock of your skills, aptitudes, personality traits, history, and experiences. What do you have that nobody else does? In what ways are you your own unique self in a way that nobody else can be? What opinions and ideas and interests and passions do you have that have followed you throughout life, no matter... Chapter 5. Standing on the Shoulders of Giants. As the now popular maxim goes, we can see far if we stand on the shoulders of giants. Even if our own efforts are small, when we add them to the collected understanding and knowledge gained by the great thinkers who have gone before us, we can advance further than even they did, and in a sense, continue their journey. It's important to thoroughly understand your own strengths, weaknesses, context, and goals. If striving for polymathy in your own life is important to you, there's no other way but to approach it with your own unique idiosyncrasies and curiosities. However, there are countless giants who have come before us. In looking at high achievers from history, we can find patterns, inspiration, or encouragement. Take what resonates and leave the rest. Admittedly, you may see that the polymaths we'll investigate in the pages below were mostly born into wealth and were well-connected, if not literally nobles and aristocrats. Many of them lived so comfortably that they were able to devote themselves to learning instead of survival, and more than a handful were noted philanderers, substance abusers, and gamblers. Nevertheless, there are some lessons we can learn from these figures, even though our lives are very different from theirs. We can make historical and cultural adjustments and learn from these giants how best to apply our own talents to arrive at the modern-day equivalent of a historical polymath. The original Renaissance man. Leonardo da Vinci, born in 1452 in Tuscany, Italy, is arguably the most famous and accomplished polymath in the history of the world, as well as someone recognized for massive creativity. Science, math, the arts, politics, culture, history, you name it, and he cultivated an interest in it. And this has been Polymath. Master multiple disciplines, learn new skills, think flexibly, and become an extraordinary autodidact. Learning How to Learn, Book 9, written by Peter Hollins, narrated by Russell Newton. Copyright 2020 by Peter Hollins. Production copyright by Peter Hollins. More information regarding today's book and the author can be found at audible.com or amazon.com. Show notes and further information can be found at russellericnewton.com. With an eclectic collection of insights, knowledge, and trivia from some of the newest audiobooks on the market, this has been the Voice Over Work podcast, brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services.